Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nice, beautiful day in the city of Cape Town. It's a little chilly though, but alhamdulillah, coming right. Well, what is the latest? Let's see. Our brother Imran Khan going through a very difficult time. I think it's time the world comes together and rally enough support to try and protect him and raise our voices so that he gets, you know, treated equally to everybody else and not be targeted because of his strength and capacity and capability to take Pakistan forward. And we do know and understand there are some countries, some leaders that are targeting him because he's a threat to them. But I think it's time that we raise our voices instead of sitting back and just allowing the Pakistanis, and we know, you know, to do what they are doing, and it's not the first time. We know Pakistan has had a lot of assassinations in the past. Well, the thing that's dominating the news is the remission granted to former President Jacob Zuma and thousands of others. Not forgetting, of course, that the crimes committed in South Africa to have an agenda committed by repeat offenders as well. But the issue of the remission granted to former President Jacob Zuma, whilst a lot of us like him, but they believe the rule of law must be maintained and respected. It means we have no respect for the judiciary. The highest court in the land has found that his release from prison was unlawful. And if he say that if you got friends in high places, you get to this country, including murder, including incarceration. So the protest being put to a halt in the city of Cape Town, or the Western Cape as a whole. 739,000 learners didn't go to school on Friday. 5,500 didn't go. So what does it mean? Well, the public protector, the Section 194 committee has found that she's not fit old office and that she must be removed. And she's raising concerns about the credibility about the committee itself. Another mass shooting in KZN, 6 shot dead in Umlazi. Really, what is going on? Exactly what is going on? Well, South African police services, they are getting closer to the kingpins behind the torching of trucks that took place not long ago. And of course, you had another looting spree in Durban, one of the clothing stores. I think it's Markham's that have been looted. So what are we saying? South Africa, like Africa, state of lawlessness. Nobody respects the rule of law. You can do as and what you want to do.
Yeah, and the law-abiding citizens are paying taxes through their nose. This article here says International Relations Minister Naledi Pandor has dismissed suggestions that Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi will no longer attend the 15th BRICS summit in South Africa next month. The Prime Minister of India has never said he is not attending the summit. I'm in constant contact with the Foreign Affairs Minister. Minister Jay Shankar has never said it. Pandor's remarks emerged from a media briefing where she reiterated South Africa's readiness to host the summit, which will be held from the 22nd of August to the 24th at the Sandton Convention Center in Johannesburg. While she fielded a question about unconfirmed reports that Modi was no longer willing to travel to South Africa to attend the gathering and had alleged that indicated that there's going to be a phone call between him and Cyril Ramaphosa. I mean, what's going on here? There's a group telling us, yes, we got our papers in order. The arrest of Narendra Modi is imminent. And yes, Naledi Pandor saying, don't. I think he's going to come in person and so forth. What's your view, Ahmad?
Well, it's no different to what happened on the Russian president. People were already predicting and speculating that he's going to come or not come because of the ICC criminal charges that was laid against him. So it's no different here. Yes, the statement that was made by Minister Pandor a couple of days ago in any event, and that is because there are a group of people in South Africa who have charged Modi And so they believe Modi must face the same, I mean, for the atrocities that he's committing against the Christians and the Muslims in India and things. And it's going unabated. If you look at on Friday, many of the open Jummah Salah was not able to be held with advice even from law enforcement that they should. I mean, where is it taking us? But to be honest with you, I'm not sure whether Modi will attend. I really don't think it will be wise for him to attend. If he attends, then we are going to protest against human rights violations. He sits back and does nothing. In fact, if anything, he's promoting what is taking place. So he should fail the full might of the law. Why should he be different to anybody else? If Putin cannot come here, and Putin, in our view, is only protecting his own territory, then, of course, it should be a no-no for Prime Minister Modi. And rightfully speaking, people have laid complaints, laid charges against him, and there will be interesting things taking place. So it will be, in fact, from his perspective, unwise for him to come at the stage. But it's also putting South Africa in the map based on the fact that we've come from the days of apartheid with human rights violation was by the apartheid government, of course. People have seen it all over the world. We've experienced it. And we are now being vocal and we're not allowing leaders to come into the country. It's giving some level of credibility to South Africa, to be honest with you. If you look at it from a certain perspective, and that is the one of law-abiding countries all over the world, that we are standing up despite to what we believe in, what is right, despite who the leaders are. At the same time, of course, we are releasing people based on who they are and how influential. So we are very contradictory, there's no doubt about that. But on the international arena, on the issue of Modi, I think he has a case to answer, more than just a case to answer. And I think we should not sit back and should make it very difficult for him so that he's not even given an opportunity to actually attend. My only fear is it must not have an impact on the BRICS itself, because we must also not fall into the trap of what the West is doing. A guy like Modi should come here and we should deal with him appropriately and, if necessary, arrest him. And I would love to know how South Africa will not arrest him if charges are opened against him here. And yet they found themselves in a very difficult position. And for that reason, President Putin is not coming, but sent his foreign minister. I was advised a day ago, I think it is, that apparently the Air Force, Russian Air Force, arrived in Pretoria a day or 2 days ago. Well, that is perhaps in preparation for the foreign minister and others that are actually coming in. So, yes, maybe. I think Modi has a case to answer. He must answer that. And he must do something about it. He's not going to change, that I can tell you. And the fact that the man is not going to change, he must face the full might of the law.
Yeah, Ahmed, then also moving on, you see Ramaphosa to host Xi Jinping in the fourth state visit. And it goes on to say, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is to set to host the President of the People's Republic of China for a state visit on August 22nd. Xi Jinping's visit to Pretoria will coincide with the first visit of the 15th BRICS summit, which kicks off on 22nd August to the 24th and will be held in Sandton. This marks the fourth state visit by Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping, quite popular with the ANC, Ahmed.
Yeah, perhaps he's bringing a brown envelope, election time, perhaps to come and give his counterparts here. I have no confidence in the South African government. I'm sorry to say that. They are doing very little or nothing to boost economic growth in South Africa, job creation, and three sectors are just shutting down in South Africa. Too deep into it right now. RFF is no different. They all are falling. Else I would rather, have the Chinese than the U.S. You would let us be mindful of the fact that Chinese can become another USA at some day. China is very strategically making investment in the whole of Africa. and quiet and have made their presence felt here. There's no doubt about it. But it should not be at the expense of your own country. Why not be a big partner, work together, learn from each other, let it be a win-win situation? Why is it that only the Chinese are benefiting and we are going nowhere with it? I mean, it's totally unacceptable what's going on in our country. You're doing it at the expense of your own people. And so I'm not expecting anything positive to come out of that, to be honest with you. Really nothing positive. South Africa has, you know, one needs to look at the policies that they've got, the trade policies particularly. And I know that they are going to be also meeting with the Minister of Trade and Industry as well. And I do hope that he is going to look at the interest of South Africa before he worries about building a relationship with the Chinese or with anybody else. You don't do it at the expense of your own people. And so I hope that Minister Patel is going to, you know, consider that. We have raised it time and time again. But there appears to be some level of reluctance from government to be able to address that. And given that, you can look at the time bomb, ticking time bomb you have in South Africa with the levels of unemployment. And some report that I read on the flight yesterday from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and they correctly talk of levels of unemployment in South Africa, that if you don't deal with the high unemployment rate and the socioeconomic conditions that South Africans find themselves in, and, you know, you there's disaster. Is all that you will have in South Africa. So, you know, when we talk to these leaders, it should always be a win-win situation.
Yes, I'm looking at this article. Says fewer South Africans are selling their homes to emigrate than in previous years, but foreign buyers have cut their spending on local shores. And this is according to some surveys done by some companies. Why is this, you know, people... I mean, they're getting, for foreign buyers and those that have the money, everything is dead cheap in South Africa for them, Ahmed.
Yes, it is. But at the same time, the high levels of crime. Look at this person that died in the protest that took place in the Cape, in the Western Cape and or city of Cape Town. I mean, very influential. He's received numerous awards as a medical practitioner, particularly a specialist surgeon. And, you know, unfortunately took the wrong turn going to the airport and was shot and died. But like that, you know, people are also trying to stay away from Sutter because if one foreigner of that nature dies, what is the message you're giving to the international world? Tourism will be affected. Investment will be affected in South Africa. If there are people in South Africa, brother, that want to leave here because of the grave dangers in terms of crime and whatever else it is, and limited job opportunities and things, then why should anybody else want to come here? The only reason people have been investing in South Africa, because you are correct, that they were the value of the currency compared to ours. But now people are giving a rethink. If you hear the statement that Julius Malema makes, that you will own your house but not your land, you lease your land. So is somebody going to want to take the chance, take the risk of doing that? These are some of the main people are leaving the country. Can you imagine, born and bred in South Africa, you're leaving and going abroad? Because your own country can't give you the opportunities. Not that they can't. They don't have the desire to do it. They don't have the passion and the commitment to want to change this country around. This is the problem. We don't even have the respect for the constitutional court, for the rule of law in South Africa. We are in a state of lawlessness. So people are actually, you know, thinking twice now. What should we do and what we should not do? So a country where you could have got lots and lots of investment, people are giving it a rethink now, saying, oh, you know, we can, yes, it might be a good idea to go invest based on the value of our currency and things. But what would it end up to be? You know, South Africa is anybody does what they feel like doing in the country. So it is a problem. The other problem that we've got is that the bond rates in South Africa, I mean, if you look at to the extent that it is rising, it's also beyond the control of a lot of people. Now, they are talking about it coming down to the extent then it will benefit, you know, many people once it comes down. But the cost of living at the moment and the rise in food products and others, you know, the level of poverty is just on the increase. There's a report that came out today or 2 days ago. South Africa remains one of the most unequal societies in the world. In fact, it's number one as the most unequal society country in the world. So what does it simply mean?
It's so sad indeed. And also when you look at from ballots to bullets, recent international political assassinations, you know, Ecuador's presidential candidate, Fernando Villavicencio, was shot dead on Wednesday. And it seems like, you know, when you look through the annals of history, so many assassinations have taken place. You know, you look at the Shinzo Abe, who resigned his position in Japan. He was assassinated. And then you had Jovenazi Moise, 2021. Haitian president also assassinated. And this assassination, you know, from the Kennedy era right till now, so many assassinations taking place. And in South Africa, on the local, you know, political scenes, councillors killing each other to get position into, you know, maybe looking at money. But these are all, you know, need for greed, Ahmed, at the expense of our people. We are putting, you know, thugs and mafias into a position of power. What's your thoughts?
Absolutely. It's an obsession with power and control. But brother, if you can limit the access, if you limit the access to funds, to financial resources, to politicians, you won't have this. People want power and control because they want to enrich themselves. Otherwise, what is the reason that we cannot share power in the interest if the interest is to serve the people in their respective countries? That's the problem you're facing. People want power and control because they want to get their hands onto financial resources. If you did not have that incentive or those loopholes for people to enrich themselves, although I don't know how much is enough in today's terms, but unless you do away with that, restrict and close those gaps, you're going to have it. The problem in South Africa is very simple. Everybody wants to get their hands on the financial resources at the expense of the people. Politics is not about serving the interests of the people of the world today. If you look at France remains one of the countries with the highest level of atrocities committed against anybody. Nobody does anything about it. Who doesn't know that the USA and its allies, all they want is they cause the chaos and mayhem because they want control of the financial resources and the natural resources of other countries. We know these things. But we allow ourselves to follow it. We even forget that we only have a limited time in this world. We are visitors. You understand you can go at any time that you come here, you serve. But yes, you can enjoy yourself. You can buy the best of cars, live in the 20 million, 50 million mansion. When you're going, you're leaving it all behind. You're taking nothing with you. So what is wrong with you to live in a comfortable position in terms of an extraordinary position? And also make that you improve the quality of life of others. You understand? But no, this is about all getting rich overnight like they will live. You know, there's no chance of them ever dying. Or they will take it with them. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that people are influenced by the fact that they can enrich themselves with these strategic positions. And it comes back to what the, you know, the former president of Singapore. What did they do when it came to corruption? He said, no, we decided to start from the top. And then what did they do? They went for the deputy president. And yes, he was imprisoned. And then what happened? Nobody wants to steal him. Whereas, yeah, there it is. No matter what happens, they release you. If you got friends in high places, you're gone. People can do as and what. Look at the billions of rands that are being spent in the legal sector here on all these trials that go place. What is even the purpose of going ahead with the other cases against Zuma and everybody else now? What is the purpose? Because if you say he's old, and I agree, and he can't go to prison now, okay, then the cases that are coming, why not just shut them down? Because you're just wasting taxpayers' money. That's all you're doing. So it's all about power and control. It's about the financial resources. This is people want to enrich themselves. And I say again, you can only control your wealth until the next generation, and then you lost control over it. and people are forgetting that.
I tell you, Ahmad, you know, mashallah, being in your company. But before I let you go, there's one more article that we'd like to discuss with you. 41 migrants are missing after new Mediterranean shipwreck. 41 migrants, including 3 children, are feared dead after being shipwrecked last week in the Mediterranean, UN agency said, citing 4 survivors brought to the Italian island of Lampedusa. And Ahmad, this is a story. If it happened to be Ukrainians or it happened to be Caucasians,
I was about to say that. What is the color of your skin? That's what it is all about.
And there's it. Innocent people, you know, children being drowned in the Mediterranean, you know, Ahmad, and nothing. It doesn't even make the headlines. You can see how prejudiced this the dunya is, Ahmad.
Brother, I don't know, you know, I'm having great difficulty in understanding one very simple thing. When and how creation of mankind starts? Now, in my understanding, in my knowledge, we are all over the world one extended family. Correct me if I'm wrong. No matter how you look at it, we are all one big extended family because we originated from the same source. So why is it that we don't have the feeling for each other? Why?
Ahmad, can I give you an answer?
It doesn't matter. It's only the color of your skin will decide whether we love you or we'll hate you. Okay?
Yeah.
Why is that? I can't understand.
Yeah. You know what happened there, Ahmad? People get captured by, you know who, the whispering of shaitan. You remember when Allah created Adam alayhi salam and he told the angels, bow down before Adam. And who didn't bow down? It was Iblis. You know what was his answer? He said, but Allah, you created me of smokeless fire. And you created him out of mud and clay. So in other words, there was this color bar already. He said smokeless fire. He was white like white, milk white. And I remember when I was doing a mosque tour, at the Grey Street Masjid many years ago, and the question was put up to me, where did apartheid originate? And I gave them this answer. I said, Satan whispered into the ear of certain of you guys that, you know, you look at my color of my skin. I'm white and he's made of mud and clay, and his color is darker than my color. I am better than him. And that's where apartheid originated. So those people that follow this type of saying, I'm fairer than you, they are Hizb Shaitan, Ahmad. Your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. But the point is, do you need to be a rocket scientist to know and understand your origin, that you are all one extended family?
Children of Adam.
You don't need...
that's brilliant. I mean, they don't want
what
it.
What I don't understand.
They don't want
it. So in one way or the other, the one that is oppressing the other is oppressing their own. They are oppressing their own.
I mean, look at Europe,
you know,
now, Ahmad.
It's just like that, I say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave every country in the world something to sustain themselves. And more often than not, something different to be there. Not because the one must want to take away what other one got, because you are one big extended family that you can share and all live in peace and harmony. But look at what you go and do. You want what is not yours. Instead of sharing with each other, no, you want to take total control of it. So I don't know. You know, really, I'm. You know, when I sit and I think about that, and I think, how foolish can our people be? Just how foolish can they be?
Ahmad, you know what? The Quran.
Their origin, where they come from.
Yeah. You know, brilliant, and we just run out of time here. I notice my engineer signaling the Quran is imminent. Ahmad, you have a mashallah, beautiful day ahead. Lovely thoughts coming through. Inshallah, we'll talk soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.